Cavani with the pump fake and one dribble inside to the long two, and he makes it. That's been his game his whole career. But look at him smiling. We go, my bad. The long two. My bad.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Long Two. I am Pete Rogers. He is Natty Wallach. And we are a Carmelo's Anthony podcast. And can I add an addition here? I know I'm interrupting in the mid of this opening. We're also, I would say, a Chris mid-range Dilton shot.
I don't podcast. Get it.
No, not good. Not good. I saw some tweet that, God damn it, what was it? They had a name for this Chris mid-range. I think it was just Chris mid-range Dilton or something like that.
Okay.
Which I was like, you know what? Chris Middleton did wonders this finals, shooting that mid-range shot. And in fact, won the finals late in that game on a mid-range shot. Natty, how are you doing after watching the Milwaukee Bucks take home a championship last night?
Congratulations, Wisco. Congratulations, yeah. Milwaukee. Go fucking Bucks. Right on. I'm tired and I'm hungover. I watched the game in the city with my brother last night, and
nice.
Subways did not agree to get me home swiftly, which is totally fine. The Subways keep you humble. That's a good thing.
That's what they're there for.
Didn't get to sleep till around 3:30. I was home at 1:30 or 2. It was like, all right, well, I'm just going to have a beer and like read about the game and see what people said. And I was just so pumped up. It was such a fucking incredible game. The Suns were winning at halftime.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They were the Bucks
were up like 13 at one right. point in the first. And then, yeah, then the Suns came back, took the lead at half, which everyone was immediately, pointing out the similarities between game five, in which the Bucks did exactly that to the Suns, where the Suns had a big lead in the first. The Bucks came back and took a small lead going into halftime. And then ultimately they won on the Giannis alley-oop and won. And it was crazy how much I kept feeling this during the game. I didn't want to point it out to Becca. My wife, Becca, is a very superstitious woman. And while her Milwaukee Bucks fandom is new, it came on strong. It was there in spades during this playoff run. And so I don't mean more passionate
than a convert.
It's true. I try not to upset her with my little observations that, you know, could potentially lead to losses or could come back to bite me if the team lost. But
Coach Bud do that? She's like, shut the fuck up right now or leave.
It was amazing to me how much the game felt like the Bucks were just like running away with it. And yet it was always like a 1 or 2 point game in that second half.
My man, the Suns won the second quarter 31-13. My brother and I kept looking at each other after the first quarter and we're like, how are the Suns winning? What happened? Like, what's going on? Devin Booker was 0-for-7 from three. In this game, we were astonished that the Suns had such a dominant second quarter after the Bucks having such a dominant first. And you're totally right. This has been a series where changes happen quickly and then you don't know if they will last. So it was like two different games in the first half. And then the second half,
the third quarter, Giannis just decided I am the best player on planet Earth. Dropped 20 points, went 6 of 10 from the field, 7 for 7 from the line. And I think that I was trying to, for the longest time last night, I was trying to figure out exactly how to phrase this amazing tweet I had batting around in my head. Basically, I wanted to do some variation of like Giannis woke up and chose violence, but he woke up and just decided, he was like, I can shoot free throws now. Like he came into this game somehow with the mentality of he mentally willed himself to just be like, this game is, we are winning. The Bucks are winning game six. I am not letting this game, this series go to a game seven. 17 for 19 from the line. That's insane.
17 for 19, Pete.
That's fucking unreal for a man who was shooting like 50% from the free throw line throughout the playoffs. He just, in the game that matters, 90% from the line. And then of course, you know, 14 rebounds. He had five blocks, which he just, mm-hmm. I felt like he blocked even more than five. I thought he was about to have a triple double with blocks.
Yeah. Like several of them were called goaltending and like, yeah. He fucking cares anyway. And he didn't care. He was like, no, if I can keep it from not going into the bucket, I'm going to do that. I don't fucking care if you get points.
Right. 50, and then of course he dropped 50 points because
17 of 19.
It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
It's the craziest goddamn thing that's happened since Trump was elected. Like, it is astonishing on a level that NBA diehards sort of get, and the casual fan does not, because they're like, oh, well, he just had, you know, he rose to the moment and he had a good shooting night. And you're like, No. Fucking understand. Like, this wasn't an Achilles heel. This was everyone's Achilles heel put in Giannis's body. It was why people thought that they couldn't advance, because Giannis would be a negative in the fourth quarter at the end of the game, because you could just foul him and he would miss them. I've almost never seen anything like that before in my life. And when's the last time you saw someone do that? Something like that. Where it's like, never. I'm not able to do this. Oh, this one important game. That's the biggest game ever. Now I can.
He shot 55% from the free throw line in every other game this playoffs.
Yeah. It's like if Vinatieri sucked. And then in the Super Bowl, he made all.
100%. That's exactly it. That's exactly what it is like. It is like if Adam Vinatieri made like 50% of his free throws, or 50% of his field goals, 50% of his kicks throughout the season, throughout the playoffs, and then come the Super Bowl, he drills every single one of them. And you're just like, Adam Vinatieri is playing out of his fucking mind right now. And that's what it was. It's utterly absurd. I don't know exactly what that proves. Like, I don't know if it proves that like these players who can't shoot free throws, it's like a mental block more than it is like a physical thing. And you just need to like somehow drown out the mental block. I don't know if it was just a fluke thing. Like, is Giannis now going to be able to shoot 70% from the line? He shot 60 on the season this year. Like, has he found his stroke, or was this just like he blacked out, Jesus took the wheel, and he went fucking 17 for 19 from the free throw line and won the game because of that. 100%.
And he took forever with his free throws earlier in the postseason. Like, he's always
nothing changed in his routine.
And then they started calling him on it, and it was like a big deal. It was like, well, he takes 5 minutes. You know, it's like fucking relief pitcher that stalks around the mound. And he came back from that. Like, Russell Westbrook, infamously, they changed the free throw rules so he couldn't walk to half court before he took a free throw. And it fucked with his free throws. And when Giannis encountered adversity with his free throw rhythm, I guess you should call it, even though like a long pause doesn't seem like it's a rhythm thing, but whatever, you know, people were counting down, you know, it was a really big deal because it illustrated how much the refs can actually affect a game. You know, it's like they're counting slower when people take free throws, and it's like, all right, well, if you were counting the way that everybody does, then maybe all of this is different. But whatever, it is out of this goddamn world. Like, the mental stuff, you always hear that like people make their free throws in practice and like in the gym. And then you also always hear how big guys or just dudes with huge hands, it's harder to shoot free throws because.
Right. Like, Dwight Howard has basically started taking his, I remember there was a time where he was starting to take his free throws, like almost like from the 3-point line, just because that was like the distance that he needed. That was the free throw line was too close.
It's a free throw is a bizarre way to shoot a basketball when everything in your body is telling you to jump. Like, basketball is about jumping. It's about dunks. It's about layups. It's about jump shots. All of that includes leaving your feet. It's a weird thing. And then when you have big ass hands, you know, you can't hold them in, you can't hold the ball in the way that like everyone's taught, you know, where it's because your hands are covering the entire.
Your hand is the ball. Right.
Yeah. So for whatever reason, Giannis was able to rise to the occasion, which is the mark of a player that it has ascended. Like when you grab the moment like this, that's when you become history. That's when you become glory.
It's when you know, become the face of the league to all of those who say he can't be.
This series, before last night's game, this playoffs, everyone was sort of talking about like, oh, it's a war of attrition. You know, it's just sort of the last team standing, which is absolutely true. However, after last night's game, people's perception of Giannis has changed. And now people are saying like, yeah, he's the best player in the NBA, even though he can't shoot threes, which is what the entire new NBA is built around. By the way, there were at least two non-shooters on the floor for the Bucks for like the entire game. Like PJ Tucker can't make threes anymore.
PJ Tucker didn't make a single bucket.
Right. He took one attempt. It was a three. It clanked.
Yeah.
I think he still had a plus.
Oh, he did. He was like plus 13 or something like that.
Yeah, he was. He was plus 13.
He had he was the highest. He had the highest plus minus out of the entire game.
And the fact that this was a series, a finals, and fuck asterisks, like this is what happened, scoreboard. The fact that it had occurred with one team not playing old school, but trying to play as efficiently as possible, and the most efficient shots in the NBA remain shots at the rim.
Right.
That shot in the restricted area is still the most efficient. The math helps you when you can sink threes. But like I said earlier, Booker was 0-for-7. Like the Suns were.
Well, it's how the Rockets have got, you know, it's how that like Dream Harden Rockets team would kept getting bumped. It's because if you just can't hit threes, and that's what your whole game is built around.
And Harden's not some like Steph Curry. Like he hits like 38% rather than like over 40, you know, like maybe even down to 35. The Suns were 6-for-25 from three. The Bucks were 6-for-27. Neither team shot well. Like the Suns were 16 of 19 from the line. The Bucks were 25 of 29. And again, 19 of those were Giannis. The Suns had 6 offensive boards. The Bucks had 11. And the first half, it was, I was like, is the ball wet? Is the court wet? There were all these turnovers. There were 32 total turnovers in that game last night. Like people were just losing the ball. They were slipping and sliding on the floor. It was fucking crazy.
It was, oh my gosh. I'm just looking at numbers right now. Giannis during the playoffs, 30 points, 12.8 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1.5 blocks. Like the guy is just so good.
Dude, shooting like over 60% field goal percent.
And we talked about this. We talked about this before we started the show. He also just like cemented himself as just everyone's favorite player in the NBA who's not on their team. Like you just cannot hate this person. His post-game interviews are incredible, to say the least. Like he as soon as he wins, he runs out and finds family and hugs them, and he just sits down then on the bench and like kind of cries and like takes this moment in and is just like absolutely driving, then spends the evening driving around trying to get free Chick-fil-A, driving around Milwaukee for free Chick-fil-A. Like the man is just, he is absolutely killing it. He gave a massive, called out super teams and did it the right, he did it the hard way and they fucking did. Like it's Giannis has, this was the year of Giannis, and I think we are all better for it.
Not the MVP, by the way. Just want to say that.
Throwing that out there. Not the MVP. Throwing it out there because he already won it 2 years in a row, so it can't be a third.
Right. So here's
no shade to Jokic, because Jokic was also fucking amazing.
We,
so.
obviously love the Joker, and I hope he's having a fucking great time over in Europe. But get real. Are you out of your goddamn mind? Giannis destroyed for like a 20 minutes from the second into the third. Giannis had like 90% of the points that Milwaukee scored. And he didn't really score that much in the first quarter because he was trying to get everybody else going.
Right.
And
but he still dropped 17, but yes.
But he was like not deferring, but it was like, let's get, you know, like I'm penetrating, let's get you the ball. Like,
oh yeah. Drew Holiday went 1 for 11. Chris Middleton 3 for 8.
Damn.
Brooke Lopez 2 for 5. Like, yeah, he comes out in quarter three and goes 6 for 10 and just decides that everyone else can't shoot worth of shit. I do have to say, and we will talk about the Suns because I think there's lots also to be talked about this team. But before we finish up with the Bucks,
question mark.
quick shout out to Brooke Lopez, who had like a 2 minute portion of the game where he just was like the best player on the court. And I tweeted out Brooke Lopez for MVP. For yeah. He dunked on Ayton and then had this like highly contested floater that he made. So Brooke Lopez, shout out to him for like being the best player on the court for 2 minutes, but real shout out. The star of the game, the only person who could have topped Giannis in terms of raw star power for this game, motherfucking Bobby Portis, man. Holy shit. Mm. Bobby Portis, multiple highlights, 6 for 10 from the court, 2 for 5 from three, scored 16 points. His eyeballs were absolutely everywhere, and everyone loved to see that. But my favorite portion was at some point, I think it was either in the third or the fourth, some call goes against CP3. CP3 wants to run over and talk to Scott Foster. And Bobby Portis like legit stops him like a bouncer. And it's just like, no, you can't do that. CP3 throws like a tantrum. And Bobby Portis is just smiling at him, smiling, grinning ear from ear.
Inches taller than, yeah, it was that bounce play.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Oh my God. Absolutely a beautiful moment. Bobby Portis stole my heart. And
he got attacked for skipping down the court. For
skipping down the court.
And every single person, like everyone I know from Wisco, I was immediately texting them like, that's the funniest thing I've seen in a basketball game in a long time. He went the entire length.
The entire
of
the court.
At the other end of the court. And of course you get teed up when you go that far. Like they were going to give him a few steps.
Right.
Run around the goddamn court. Oh my God. And I was so pissed when Bud wouldn't put him back in. Like he played early on in the game and they went on a run and then you didn't see him again for such a long time while the Suns were coming back. It was infuriating. I was like, this is why the Suns will win, because the Bucks did something dumb and they're just so stubborn. The graphic of Giannis when he was drafted versus Giannis this year.
My God.
It was like Steve Rogers before he stepped into the chamber and after when he stepped out as Captain America. Like 100%. It was insane. I couldn't fucking believe it. He grew 3 inches. He put on 60 pounds.
He put on 60 fucking pounds of muscle.
Yeah, right. And it's muscle. Like he just looks, it was two different people. Yeah. And you were like, right, you were drafted really young and
that's the thing too. Not, like
you were like Paul George's height when you were drafted.
Right. Like I also like there are many people. Giannis, when you look at that picture, it is a true.
He looks like Tayshaun Prince, man.
Like you can't look at that picture and be like, yes, he was very talented, lots of potential. You can't fault any team for passing on Giannis because no one knew this man was going
to like 7-3 in his first year.
Right.
Too.
Right.
Like,
right.
Come on.
Like you can't, he wasn't going to, no one knew he was going to like just basically evolve into the Hulk and be this just like absolutely monstrous human.
Wait, can I piggyback off that point real
fast?
Hell
yeah.
Go. Okay. This is my favorite collection of stats for this finals run.
Okay.
These are the players on the Bucks in ascending order of total playoff minutes played this season. and where they were drafted. Okay? So Dante DiVincenzo, who got hurt,
yep.
But he played the 10th most minutes in the playoffs for the Milwaukee Bucks this year. He was drafted 17th overall. Jeff Teague, who
Jeff fucking Teague,
not
Boston Celtics legend.
I mean, fuck, like, ouch. 9th most minutes in these playoffs total. He was drafted 19th overall. Bryn Forbes, undrafted. You didn't see him again, and you know, after he had that one series, but like he helped get them there. Bobby Portis, drafted 22nd overall. Pat Connaughton, who went 0-for-4 last night, I believe.
Pat Connaughton was a minus 20, I think, was his
net
rating.
But he had 2 offensive rebounds. And when you're in that sort of game and you're letting Pat Connaughton
get bored,
like that's, you're just giving those points away. That's yep. how bad the Suns were on the glass on that end. But anyway, so Pat Connaughton, 2nd rounder, drafted 41st overall, 4-1. Brooke Lopez, drafted 10th overall in the first round. PJ Tucker, round 2, number 35 overall. Giannis, who was injured for 2 games after hyperextending his knee and then coming back and played better, so maybe everyone should hyperextend their knees from now on. He missed 2 games in the Atlanta series. The Bucks won both of those games, by the way. Go Chris Middleton, go Drew, go Brolo. Giannis was, as you said, drafted 15th overall in the first round. The 2nd most playoff minutes for the Bucks, Drew Holiday, drafted 17 overall. And by the way, I've never seen someone fight through screens
so hard,
I don't think, than I've seen it. Like he fought through every single screen.
Drew Holiday. I don't know if it was just because he was putting too much energy into his defense, but man, that his defensive presence was felt from like game. We talked about this after our game 1 podcast where we were just like, Drew Holiday has to be like glued to either Devin Booker or CP3. And he was from there on out, and he did a tremendous job for the rest of the series.
The reason, by the way, he followed our advice. So, yep. You know,
so we are basketball NBA yep. coaches, and we are highly intelligent.
The reason they got Drew was because Eric Bledsoe had no offense.
Yeah.
Bledsoe was there for his defense and provided nothing in terms of any kind of offense whatsoever. And then Drew comes in and his offense, he had 1 game. Like he had
one
maybe
game.
3 games in the playoffs where it was fine. And it's like he had 1 spectacular 20 plus point game, but his defense was so much better. It was constant, yeah. persistent, tenacious, stubborn, like violent at times. Like he's throwing hips like Robert Ori, you know, like it was incredible to watch, especially because the dichotomy, like the comparison between his elite defense and his totally shitty offense. It, like he was 4-for-19 last night. Yeah. He was 4-for-19 and you could still see how he helped win that game because of how elite his defense was. Like that's incredible. That is just absolutely amazing because I would have thought you would needed some offense. That's why they made that trade. And then it ends up being like, whatever. Anyway, so he's played the 2nd most playoff minutes for the Bucks. Chris Middleton has played the most playoff minutes for the Bucks this year. 2nd round pick, number 39 overall. Pete, the guy who was drafted highest on this team is Brooke Lopez, drafted 10th. When's the last fucking time a team won without a top 9 pick, without a top 5 pick? Like, this is...
Do you have an answer? Do you know?
No, because okay. Going back through my head on the train for an hour and
right,
a half.
Right, right.
Like, well, LeBron's in all of the finals. Like,
right, so exactly. So he's always,
and like,
yeah.
I didn't go through the Suns because DeAndre Ayton was number 1 pick, and then
right,
Paul, like, Booker fell, but Mikal Bridges was a lottery pick. And the, you know, it's the Warriors.
The point certainly stands for the Bucks, though.
The best player was drafted outside of, well, he was drafted 15th. And then, like, there's Bobby Portis, fucking number 22. Pat Connaughton, second round pick. PJ Tucker, 35. Chris Middleton, who, again, played the most minutes for the champion Bucks, who was a throw-in, a disregarded nothing in the Pistons-Bucks trade, Brandon Jennings, Brandon Knight. Like,
oh my gosh.
It is, they, and Middleton and Giannis have been there for, I think, 8 years together. Yep. And the fact that neither of those dudes was a high pedigree pick and they won the finals together is so impressive and brilliant advertising for the NBA. Yeah. Because it's like, hey man, Tom Brady exists here too. Like, you, it's Draymond Green. You don't need to be a top 10 pick in order to win. Like, hard work and, you know, luck with place, sort of, you know, like the Kings have had a lot of high picks and they can't do anything, but it's like, if you're in the right place at the right time, then magic can happen. And the fact that those, I mean, the Bucks won like less than 20 games, I think, Giannis's first year. And now at the end of the tunnel, at the top of the mountain, ascendant, you can make a great argument that Giannis at 26, who is younger than most of the historic players that have won the finals, younger than LeBron, I think, younger than MJ, he's maybe the most valuable player again in the NBA. Because again, no load management, hyperextended his knee, can't shoot threes, can't shoot free throws, stupid coach, no one else is on the team. Drew Holiday can't shoot. Chris Middleton's a second round pick. Like, there's, it is totally legit and accurate to say that this this playoffs was a war of attrition, but every playoffs is its own story. Every season is its own story. It doesn't make the championship less legit because it's always in context. Like, this team had the best record in the NBA 2 years in a row. Then last year, this season, they didn't give a shit. They decided to sacrifice some games to experiment with their schemes. So, okay. But they've also been in the playoffs. They've played as many games almost as, like, everybody else. So, as, like, the Lakers and all the people that go to the playoffs, deep in the playoffs all the time. So, like, should be tired, too, and they're still here. It is so, so impressive. If Kevin Durant's gigantic goddamn
foot, his massive big toe,
are just a little bit farther away from the line, then the Bucks aren't here. You know, there's so many things that, like, Giannis hyperextended his knee.
Yeah, Giannis could have, everyone was just like, Giannis tore his ACL. This is it, we're done.
And then the Bucks win too, and Giannis comes back and he's like, oh, actually, by the way, I learned some valuable lessons.
No, I actually learned how to shoot free throws, but I'm gonna save that for game six.
There was so much traveling and, like, Euro steps in last night's game too, but, you know, they swallowed the whistles on some of that. But it was just, the matchup was advantageous to the Bucks because at a certain level, the Suns just can't match the size. It's Ayton, and then Frank the Tank, God bless him. You know,
he had his moment too. He had his moment. Exactly.
Totally. And they needed him out there. They really fucking
did. Yeah. Like, he gave them good minutes. And the fact that, like, Twitter was applauding the fact that they are, like, even not only Twitter, but, like, Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy, and they were like, it's great that Frank Kaminsky is giving them minutes. It's like, well, that's a terrible sign for the Suns. Like, it is rough that like, you're celebrating the Frank the Tank minutes. All right, let's talk about
wait, can I say one last thing? Sorry.
Oh, you're just killing my saucy transitions.
Okay, I know. I'm so sorry about this, but I needed to say this.
Okay.
Bogdan Bogdanovich made the wrong decision. He made the wrong decision.
That he did.
Think about this team with Bogdan and his playmaking too. Like, that's all I want to say. Okay.
All you want to say. Sorry. Okay. I feel like any conversation about the Suns and what the Suns do next from this can only start with the fact that the Suns were up 2-0 and then Chris Paul returned and then they went 0-4. So do they want Chris Paul?
In what spirit are you asking me that?
Do the Suns want Chris Paul in 2022?
Okay, cool. That's much more helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Listeners of this pod might notice that neither of us like Sarver too much, the owner of the Suns. He has been shown to be cheap and also make bad decisions. However, because of the youth of Booker and Ayton, I would not resign CP3, or I would do a sign and trade.
Ding, ding, ding. That is clearly the right answer. This team, this offense was so much more exciting with Cameron Payne playing point and the speed that they were moving. And then Chris Paul, whilst I'm sure was a phenomenal, like certainly his leadership and veteran presence was wildly important for the Suns team this year. Like they don't jump from one of the worst teams in the West to one of the best teams in the West in one season, one off season, simply because that's just how the world works. Like Chris Paul had a huge influence on that. However, you can't help but notice how different the two teams looked with and without Chris Paul, and the results, I would say, Natty, speak for themselves. Am I wrong?
I don't think that you're wrong, but I do disagree with you. I don't think it's Chris Paul's fault that they lost. Like, again, Devin Booker was 0-7 from three. And he
was. Well, Devin Booker, we talked about this. Devin Booker has broke his face like 15 different times.
Absolutely. For sure. And Chris Paul, like, tested positive for COVID and had to go into protocols.
That's
and
true.
Also, oh DeAndre Ayton, who is 20 fucking two, was like tasked with guarding Giannis, who is the most unstoppable guy in the paint in the NBA right now. And he had no backup. Like, so much was asked of these young Suns. And while, yes, Chris Paul, you would have loved to have seen him have like a 40-point game and, you know, like he was the dude that rose to the occasion. That's just not really him, you know? Like he can do that, but no one else was really helping him that much. And Chris Paul succeeds when he can get other people to help. Like that's the point guard. The point of the point guard is that he elevates the rest of the team. Like, he can close if you need him to, but for the rest of the game, he's trying to get everybody else involved. So, yeah, Devin Booker was fucked up. Still, he was hesitant driving. Like, he deferred sometimes. They just weren't passing it to him. And all those Jay Crowder open threes where no one was even bothering.
Yeah, you got to make those.
You have to make those, but you also have to wonder why, like, okay, well, they're not paying attention to him at all. We need to use this to try to help Booker, and Booker needs to be more aggressive. Now, he had two 40-point games in this series, and they lost both, I think. Like, that's not his fault. They just didn't end up having enough guys clicking at once. And again, they were winning at halftime. The game was 105-98. That was the final score. If Booker makes two threes, it's totally a different game, you know? Yeah. Like, if only a few things go differently, and that was the case for a lot of these games, I feel like. There's reason to believe that this team, as currently constructed, with, like, one more actual starter and then a backup center who is not Frank the Tank, actually could have won this series.
So that's a good place to go to. First off, I want to quickly correct myself. I was confusing the Lakers or the Clippers series with the Bucks series. Chris Paul played all of the games against the Bucks. He missed the first two games against the Clippers because of the COVID protocol and then came back and then dropped 41 to win that game. So to win that series. So my apologies there.
Chris Paul. Forgiven.
Chris Paul, you the narrative of you coming in and just tanking the Sun season whilst juicy is not true. But I
we
do.
I just know Scott Foster was.
Well, Scott Foster. Scott Foster definitely did not have something to do with that tanking the old season. It's interesting. This is I saw a lot of Suns fans, and rightfully so. Like, I would 100% do this if the Celtics had made it to the finals and lost, where they were like, you know, Devin Booker, 24, Mikal Bridges, 25, I think, or something like that. DeAndre Ayton, 22.
I think Mikal Bridges is like 22 also.
No, he's 24. But Cameron Payne, I think.
He's a four-year player. Okay.
Yeah. Cameron Payne's 26. So anyways, but they were just like
young ass team.
Right. Now the thing is, and they're like, okay, the Suns will be back. But yes, there were some extenuating circumstances that changed. The Thunder, everyone was like 20 years old when the Thunder made it to the finals. And that clearly they didn't make it back and that team blew up. Are you worried, Natty? Would you be worried about this Suns? Like, do you think that this was... Could the Suns team make it back to the finals? Are they a piece away? I know it's a lot of projection, but like, are you not worried about this team moving forward and feeling like, no, the foundation is there for them to be solid contenders in the West for the foreseeable future?
The issue the Suns have right now is that they need more front court depth. But it's in a league where the type of front court depth you need is different for the playoffs than it is for the regular season.
Yes.
So like you need Rasheed Wallace's, you know, like yeah. you need yeah. dudes that can defend bigs, but also shoot from outside.
It's the Morris twins.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, Ayton was the only dude over 6'9", I think, aside from Frank the Tank. On true? The Suns.
Wow.
Like Jay Crowder is in there, like playing interior defense because
right,
that's
right.
what they had left, you know? Yeah. And like sometimes that works when you're Draymond Green and you're 6'7 or 6'8 and your ass is the size of goddamn Jupiter and you're one of the best defensive players who's ever lived. Same with Big Ben Wallace. But
right.
most people can't do that. And it's unfair to ask them to do that. It's also right. unfair to ask DeAndre Ayton to do that. Without backup. So, yeah. like, the Suns need identifiable help that almost every team needs. The problem for the Suns is that the brow, Anthony Davis, is also young. And in seasons when he's not hurt, mm-hmm. you can almost bank that he's going to go at least to the second round, if not the third round, of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that matchup, like hardly any who can guard Giannis. Well, you know, like maybe Anthony Davis sort of can. That's
right.
There are very few dudes who can actually legitimately do that. Just like it was with LeBron. You know, are there guys that can guard LeBron? Yeah, sure. But what does guard mean? It doesn't right. mean that you can keep him from winning. It just
no, means it's slowing them down and making them slightly less efficient.
Exactly. And now that Kawhi is 30 plus and hasn't really shown that he can do that from the small forward position for an extended period of time in the playoffs, those guys are even more rare. So, yeah. you know, Giannis versus Ben Simmons, you still take Giannis. You know, Giannis versus Embiid is an interesting matchup, but I also sort of feel like that's not how they would play each other in a 7-game series. Like, I don't think the coaches would throw those two at each other unless they had to. The power forwards in the league right now are strangely like the most valuable because no one else can truly match up with them. If you go small, they dominate you inside. If you go big, then they outrun you. They just have mm-hmm. like Giannis plays like a guard who's 6'11".
Yeah, I saw someone tweet that where it's basically like DeAndre Ayton's doing a great job of making Giannis make Kyrie level finishes around the rim, and then it's just like it's a bummer that Giannis can do that. Like, you know, if it was any other person, that Ayton's defense, what you would have seen how that defense was so impactful because of the fact that there are only a handful, like maybe three big people of Giannis's size who Ayton would be guarding who can finish the way that Giannis can and can still put up 50.
And guess what? When you're doing that, when you're actually like when Bam Adebayo is like legitimately guarding Giannis,
right?
It's exhausting.
Right.
So he doesn't have anything left for the other end of the court. It is, you're asking them to sacrifice so, so much. And maybe that's one of the reasons why Drew was off with his shot because
right.
of how hard he was playing right. on defense. I mean, it looked like he ran 20 miles last night.
He was booking it every time they were on that court. I want to also give a shit ton of love to Monty Williams. He had, I mean, not only is he just like a stand-up person and coached a hell of a series, but also he had like after his post-game press conference, he got really emotional and just like it was a very touching moment. And then he went into the Bucks locker room and kind of just like congratulated them personally. And it's just like, again, I am a big fan of I think one of the reasons, again, why this was such a desirable and such a must-watch NBA series and finals is just because it put so many different people who you're just not used to seeing in that kind of primetime spotlight into that primetime spotlight. And it made the country fall in love with Giannis. It made me, and I'm sure many, 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 many other people fall in love with Monty Williams. And it's just like, that is why it was such a good finals. It was so much better than just seeing the retreads over and over and over again.
Fell in love with DeAndre Ayton. Luka, fuck Trey. Who got here first? Are you kidding me?
Like, the man who stars in M. Night Shyamalan's movie Old.
Yeah. I mean, there are dudes that look like they're 43-year-old men. And, you know, like.
And Ayton is one of them.
He absolutely is. And it's not a slight. It's just like you have always looked like a grown ass man. And I, who am way older than you, almost 20 years older than you, I'm like, I look like I'm getting to puberty.
It's just around the corner.
It's not just like what he looks like. It's also how he conducts himself. Like he didn't freak out at all. None of these motherfuckers have been there before except for Jay. And like he lost. Like Devin Booker
panicked.
Devin Booker, if the Suns had won, we would be talking about Devin Booker's 40-point games as that's the holiness. You know, it's like this, he has arrived. Now everyone's fallen in love with Devin. Like, you know, he doesn't want us to talk about him and Kobe, but it's like, you know, guys that can score like that, especially from the mid-range, also two guards scoring like that is rare. It's, you know, we would have been talking about him. We would have been talking about Ayton. Everyone would have been talking about CP3. Like, I do feel like the country would have been just as happy with Chris Paul winning. Like,
maybe they would have been more insufferable about it.
Who hates Chris Paul? I mean, I know he's a micromanager and I know that he's not really like the dude that plays with joy. Like sometimes during the game, like even
he's also, he has some dirty tendencies.
Yo, you try playing professional basketball when you're quote unquote 6 feet tall.
That's true. Like, that's true.
He's out there playing at a disadvantage. And
also that's true.
Anyways. So wait a second. You asked me about the Suns. So what do you think about their future?
I think you brought up a lot of good points. I do think that big help for them is big. Like that they do need to. I think first of all, I think you let CP3 go. There's already rumors swirling around that the Lakers want to get one of CP3 or Russell Westbrook, which is just like, please God, go get Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Andre Drummond spacing would just give me so much pleasure in trying to watch that team try to operate. It would just be absolutely glorious. So I think the Suns, you know, you say thank you, Chris Paul. I think Chris Paul also probably wants to go. I have no idea. I I'm not sold that this team is like locked in, ready and loaded for constant Western domination.
Agreed.
Because if you look at the Western Conference, like, I also don't think the Jazz are like, but I think the Nuggets, the Mavericks are only going to get better. Fingers crossed. Well, they have Jason Kidd as their head coach, so God knows what could happen.
I don't know. I could see them sort of falling out.
Yeah, they really
because could. What you're saying is that the West is so tough, and it will be resurgent next year.
Right. Like, well, just like your staples are going to be back. The Lakers are going to be better. The Warriors presumably will. I feel like the Warriors are going. I mean, they've already said that they're shopping James Wiseman, so I feel like the Warriors are going to be aggressive this offseason and getting back into a finals contender. The Trailblazers, who knows what they're going to look like. The Clippers are, if everyone stays there, also going to be real contenders. Yeah. You know, I think my biggest worry with the Suns is just like, unless you can find another clear veteran presence or just another someone else. I'm just worried that these young guys, if you have any kind of regression from the young guys, what does this team look like? But
sure,
they won 50 games. And does that need to happen? No, like they could, you know, you could be a high 40s team or a low 40s team and still, you know, be good. I mean, that's the Bucks were 46 wins last and went on to win the finals. So, you know, you don't need to be putting up big winning percentages to see. I think they are, I'll say this, because I'm definitely rambling. What I'll say is that I think the Suns will experience a pretty severe finals hangover. Sure. I don't know if that is not even making the playoffs or being bumped from, you know, being all out of the Heat and getting swept in the playoffs. But I do think that, like, I think the Suns are going, it's going to take a couple of years for the Suns to recover from this and get back to the point where they're like, we're talking about them as a finals contender again. That's what I would say.
So historically, you're absolutely right. Aside from the Warriors versus LeBron, like, yeah, most of the time when a team loses in the finals, they don't make it back the next year. And, you know, it's more of like a 5-year project, you know,
right,
like the Spurs didn't win 3 in a row. You know, it's like you have a down year afterwards and then you try to build back up. The Suns have a lot of elite competition in the West. They also have a lot of talented youth in the West, yeah, like the Pelicans, you know, like,
yeah.
And so, I mean, the trade that I would sort of want to see for Phoenix, ooh, to get to address this is like, but it would never happen. But I kind of like the idea of Julius Randle for CP3 and you get Orange Julius to toughen up the front court, yeah, while also being a distributor and a guy that can score when your other scorers are sitting on the bench. And then Chris Paul gets to lead the resurgence of the Knicks. But the Knicks love Julius. I mean, he was an incredible player this year. He's 26, 27, maybe.
Right.
I mean, his age does align better with the Suns, but Chris Paul is so much older, but the Knicks need
point guard. The Knicks are also so, I can see them easily, is if that trade was ever presented to them, they just how like ownership operates. There's, it's so media and you know, like, not marketing.
I mean, it definitely has been. It's like, what does the New York Post think about this? But since Leon Rose and the new dudes have come into the front office, it seems like they've been smarter.
Well, I'm saying more so that it's superficial. Like, it's just about, it's appearance based. Yeah. So we're like, I think they could love be like, oh my gosh, we're riding this wave where we were a playoff team, and now we get Chris Paul to be the face of the Knicks as we like try to make it deeper into the, like, I could see them being like, yes, throw all the chips in. Chris Paul is like, New York fans are going to love Chris Paul, and there'll be so many CP3 jerseys, and it's just, it's going to be exactly what New York wants, and have that be a little bit blinding over the, like, Julius Randle might be actually better for us long term.
I also feel like Chris Paul has proved that he is a help for your team.
Oh my God. Yeah.
In terms of education.
Yes. Like,
he changed Ayton's career. He changed Booker's career. The fact that they got to play with it, it's like USA basketball.
He changed SGA's career back in Oklahoma.
Absolutely. Like, he's such a good teacher. And even though he's a taskmaster, he is able to teach the young players how to actually succeed. And he's generous with his teaching. So it's like, you know, like in football, like the quarterback doesn't want to teach the backup, you know, Favre infamously didn't want to have anything to do with the other guy whose name won't be mentioned.
Sorry. Yes. The other guy
Green Bay forever. Yeah. No one cares. They're always with this goddamn quarterback drama. I don't give a shit about that team anyway. Like, CP3, you would think that he's more valuable for a team that's trying to win the finals, but I almost wonder whether it's opposite. Like, should he be back in New Orleans with Zion?
Oh, interesting.
You know, like, should he be a dude that you are willing to pay a hell of a lot of money to help you grow the other young players?
Yeah.
You know, like, if the Pistons were like, hey, man, like, we just want you to help us get better, or the Bulls, or, you know, like, name anybody, the Kings, or something crazy where it's like Dallas is like, the playmaking with you and Luka exponentially increases our ceiling. So, like, you know, do the Suns want Kristaps? Maybe. I don't know. That would be sort of interesting, more interesting than a lot of other destinations. But CP3, we have seen over the last 4 years, it's a dude with value, even when he's getting paid more than you'd like him to be. So I do feel like if the Suns, who are led by a guy in the GM's office right now, James Jones, who seems to know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
I don't think
people gave a lot of shit to, because they were like, oh, he just got signed because he's LeBron's friend.
Right. Like, and then immediately made a trade with the Lakers where the Lakers won that trade. But
It's like he did an pretty good job. I would actually should really say, like, an exceptional job building this roster.
Sign and trade for Kuzma make sense?
Well, like, Kuzma's going to Washington for Russell Westbrook.
Right, I forgot. Sorry. Even though he should come home to the Pistons. But, like, there are trades out there that make sense, I think, even for teams that don't think that they're legitimate contenders right now. Like, there's very few, I think there are fewer teams that wouldn't like Chris, you know, like Memphis.
Yes. Yes.
Doesn't, you know, Jaws there. Like, you don't.
That's redundant. You know,
if you were Toronto, wouldn't you rather keep Kyle Lowry than trade for CP3? Like, if you're Boston, wouldn't you rather keep Jaylen than trade for CP3?
Oh my God, yes. Get out of here. Jaylen's not going anywhere.
What about the Nets with Joe Harris on, you know, not a big contract, but, like, you know, a legit one, and they send something else? Or what about Cleveland?
Well, they've been talking about moving Sexton. Sexton's getting some buzz of being on the market.
And maybe K-Love too.
Yeah, and finally get out from under that contract.
Right, and then you sort of add to front court depth. I just feel like we should not underestimate how valuable Chris Paul is to NBA teams after what's happened over the past 4 years.
Totally.
Because people keep taking him, and they keep getting better. The fact that the fucking Suns went to the finals
is insane.
Is insane.
It should not be over. It should not be underplayed.
With Chris Paul, a guy who always gets injured.
Natty, before we go, I just wanted to really solidify Giannis's greatness for you, because I know we haven't spent enough time on it.
Sure.
Three players in NBA history, along with Giannis, have recorded in a regular season, averaged 25 points per game, 10 rebounds per game, 5 assists per game, and one block and one steal per game. Can you name any of them?
Yes, but I'm just going to let you list them rather than having dead air while I think about it.
Okay. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did it in 75-76.
It would be incredible if it was 95.
I mean, if he did that in the 90s, good for you, Kareem.
By the way, 50 years since the Bucks won with Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Oscar. Yeah. That's also awesome.
Larry Bird did it in 84-85.
Who cares?
And the third person to do it, Giannis, did it in 18-19.
50 points.
Only three players in the NBA have done it. And Giannis is two of them, or four, you know, four times it's happened. And Giannis is twice.
And like all the Shaq comparisons, it's so, it's him. Like the fact of the matter is that if it had been almost any other team than the Suns, their interior defense would have been stronger. And so some of these stats wouldn't have occurred. But you scoreboard, this is what happened. This is what the finals had for us. Giannis had 50 points last night. CP3 had 26 points. No one else scored 20 or more. No one.
That's how you judge greatness.
Chris Paul's 97 years old, okay? And he was the second leading scorer in a closeout game where they absolutely needed to win. And it's like, no one has really talked about how Devin Booker disappointed because of the 40 point games and because his face was broken open by Pat Bev. And there's all these other reasons. The Suns didn't lose this series. The Bucks won it. Again, the Suns were winning at halftime, even though it seems nuts. Like they could have won that game. They played well. Monty Williams is a great coach, and the Bucks with Giannis just had enough to become legend. And yeah, I mean, this performance by Giannis is more impressive than anything I think since LeBron destroyed the Pistons in that overtime period. Like this is the most impressive run by someone in 10 years.
Agreed. And we will leave it at that. Make sure you subscribe to the Fake Teams podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. That's how you'll not only get us, but also our fantasy baseball show, which drops the occasional episodes. You want to make sure you tune in. Follow us on Twitter at The Long Two Podcast. And Natty, we might talk next week. We might not. But until then, stay safe, my friend.
Be healthy. And yeah, take a deep breath. Take a nap.
Take
a
nap.
Spa, you know, like relax, stretch.
Basketball is over, but there will still be, I'm sure.
The draft is next week.
Jesus
Christ. By the way. And like, come on. This has been such a long 2 years. And hats off to you and to everybody else that's diehard NBA fans. Like, this was a long 2 years. It really was. And now we're on the other side of it. And Giannis, one of the only guys who has MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, a Finals, and Finals MVP. It, just majestic.